Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
August is almost over, and that means the Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive is about to wrap up. If you love what we do, please know we couldn't do it without your support on patreon.com/kindafunny, and it would mean the world to us if you tossed us a sub, even if it was just for a month.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about the fact that Project Q is officially PlayStation Portal, and I got to play it. Plus, I tried out the new headset, earbuds, and this thing called PlayStation Link. We'll talk all about that and more, because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Greg. That's Tim. And you can get this show on patreon.com/kindafunny. There, you can watch us record it live, usually. Get it ad-free and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive content. If you have no bucks to toss our way, support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, and more with the creator code KINDAFUNNY. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the exclusive content on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney, the Delaney Brothers.
Brother.
Today, we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but let's start with a PSN message from you, Tim.
Yes.
Not only the rare Tim Geddes appearance on PS I Love You XOXO, the rare only Tim and Greg PS I Love You XOXO.
Exactly. You know, it offends me that I don't get to be frequently on the show with the best intro song of all time.
You're goddamn right.
You know, it just gets the energy going. Everything's feeling good. Gets to talk about PlayStation with you. The PlayStation Portal. Very excited to talk about all of this.
Portal.
Not loving the name, but hey, what's in a name?
What is it?
If not love persevering.
That's one way to put it. That's right. And we'll just jump right into it, of course. Mm-hmm. We are recording this in a time warp, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 182 of PSI Love You XOXO. However, we recorded it right after I went to PlayStation HQ and used all this new PlayStation tech. So we still haven't done episode 181. This is going up embargoed, et cetera, et cetera. I want to jump in, though, for this special episode and start with a PSN message from you like we always do. Of course, you can write in for free on kindafunny.com/PSILY with your questions, topics of conversations, your comments on the show, and, of course, your PSN message, your thought starters. Mr. Midas, a man we know well, wrote in a long time ago, but I thought with us actually knowing information now about PlayStation Portal, we could talk about it, and said, does Project Q have a place in the household of the modern gamer? Tim, I went to PlayStation. I got to play the PlayStation Portal. You didn't.
Yes.
So do you, I think it's a great way to launch the conversation that'll be tots, but do you think Project Q, now officially PlayStation Portal, makes sense in the modern gamer household?
I do think that it makes sense, but in a way that's not for everybody. And I think that that is understood and by design from PlayStation themselves.
Sure.
Even in the sense of talking about something like a PSVR 2, PSVR 1 even, of that kind of being a separate console for all intents and purposes, still requiring a PS5. But it reminds me a lot more of back in the day, a Sega CD.
Sure.
Or an expansion to a console of allowing you to, or a Game Boy Color even to a Game Boy. There will be exclusive games on this and experiences that can only happen there, but you're making that investment and it is trying to play new games differently. This is more a new way to play the games you're already playing.
Sure.
And I think that it is a luxury at the starting point, but then it also can kind of become a necessity for very specific groups of people. And that, a necessity is obviously a wild word to use, but I mean more
of
like...
Of course, is any video game a necessity?
Exactly.
No, of course,
but it is shelter. Like, but it is a great option for a product for a lot of people out there, for a market that I think is clearly growing when it comes to families that are playing games. We talk about the Nintendo Switch so often about, or even back in the Game Boys or DSs or whatever, where throughout Nintendo's life cycle, because of the type of games that they make, families will tend to end up owning multiple Switches throughout the life cycle, multiple DSs, whatever that is. And I think a lot of that just comes down to the screens of it all, right? Of being able to entertain multiple people in different ways.
Yep.
And with the advent of the Wii U and the marketing around that being like so much put on, you know, you look at the Switch opening commercial and they're playing on the rooftops and all of that. When you look at the Wii U opening commercials and all of that, it was really based on, cool, there's the fun interactivity between the touchscreen and the TV, but then also, your mom walks in the room, she wants to watch Law and Order. She sits down on the couch. You get to keep playing your game on the Wii U. And I feel like that was ahead of its time in a way, but I think kind of began this new understanding of that is an option that people are looking for in video games. And with things like remote play and all that, it having happened way more frequently, it dated back to the PSP being able to figure out workarounds to get games playing. You know, but like for it to be something that is not a hack, but is actually an intended product, I think the world is more than ready for that type of thing. If the entry point is cheap enough, if it just works the way it needs to, because it needs to just work.
Sure. And so I think that, yeah, I want to take the question, does the Project Q have a place in the modern household of a gamer, and move it into topic of the show? Tots. I tried as long as I could, Barrett. That's what I could give you. And talk about the fact that I went to PlayStation and I played the PlayStation Portal. Does Project Q, now officially the PlayStation Portal, have a place in the household of a modern gamer? I can talk about my household. And for me, the answer is unequivocally yes. You talked about if the price is right, all these different stuff. $199 is what they're setting this for, right? Which is, I think, to be expected. We had said on the show, right, okay, or in all of our shows building up to it, Backbone, $99. Then it was like, all right, this is adding in a screen, you know, 8-inch LCD, you're going to have this stuff, it's 60 frames a second or whatever. You're adding that on there. What do you, where do you go before this becomes outrageous? And what I had been saying on Kind of Funny Games Daily, on PS I Love You, just on the street, when anybody said, hey, did you hear about Project Q, Greg? I'm like, yeah. And what I'm going to say is, it'd be awesome to hit $149. That would be incredible. But it would be incredible. So if you're going to go up to $199, and I think that's the ceiling to it, to have it be a thing. I'm happy to report after my time with it, I played Horizon, God of War, Astrobot, Returnal. I had an hour-long demo for all the tech that I'm going to talk about today, but I, you know, did a bunch with PlayStation Portal. It's going to be a long time before I stop seeing Project Q, just like the old days of Vita and GP. And I started with that, played a good amount of it, then did the other stuff, then I came back to it at the end to use it more. This is a device legitimately designed for me. You know, if you listen to the shows, you are well aware that I remote play, I would say, almost every night. To your point, right, of like, to answering Mr. Midas's question, there are so many people that share screens and share the living room, right? And for me and Jen, yeah, Diablo is this great game we can sit there and play together and just sink hour after hour after hour into. But that's a rare occasion. Usually Jen wants to watch something before she goes to bed early and I go downstairs to do something. And so remote play enters into that equation right there, where for me it is Backbone. Boom, pop out, put my phone in it, pop into the Backbone, and I'm usually playing whatever we're reviewing or whatever I want to tinker with or whatever while she watches Grey's Anatomy because there's like 9,000 seasons. Last night, going home after running the demos for these, it was so like heartbreaking. You know what I mean? To have touched it and held it and used it and then go back to a Backbone. And I love my Backbone. I'm not talking shade, taking shots at the Backbone, but like I was so happy with the PlayStation Portal. Like I cannot wait to actually get this in my house and start using it. So again, if you haven't seen it before, there I am holding it. 8-inch screen, 1080p LCD, 60 frames a second. One of the things that they were, the first thing that they wanted to call out for me with it was that it has all the DualSense features. So we have the gyro, we have the microphone in it that Mike hates and makes fun of all the time. We have haptics, we have the light bar. The only exception is that you don't have the player indicator light, which usually changes color based on what
users
are, because you're remote playing, you're always going to be player number one.
Yeah.
So they're just like, that wasn't even worth putting in there and stuff. The quote,
smart, save the battery.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was, of course, they give the entire presentation. My first question out of the gate was, you didn't mention battery. What is the battery life on this? And the answer was, We're not there yet.
I want to stop you here. Like, just let's do a quick rundown of what is the news here in terms of are there dates for this thing? Are there prices, battery life, all of that?
The price is $199. That is confirmed. That's what it's going to be, right? You're going to have a pre-order starting very soon, they say, which, again, when we get these kind of demos, we're given a lot of information, not all of it. We're, again, a week out from when this embargo will lift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting that when they announce it, pre-orders might be there, or they might already have a date for it or a store landing page or whatever. But pre-order soon, and it is coming this year. This is coming alongside the Pulse Explore wireless earbuds. So, again, those the wireless earbuds they had shown you before are officially called the Pulse Explore earbuds. Those are doing the exact same thing. So pre-orders for PlayStation Portal and the Pulse Explore earbuds go up the same day, and they will launch on the same day as well.
Gamescom.
Exactly. This is Gamescom information. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably at some point during Keeley's show, there'll be a fancy commercial for PlayStation Portal and these things. Pre-order now with a date.
Yeah, but like, unless our calendar is wrong, this embargo doesn't line up with Keeley's live show. So I think they're getting out in front of it, and then maybe during it, yeah, there'll be a fancy commercial for it, or the commercial they just debuted or whatever.
Got it. Okay.
We're seeing what that is or whatever. The wireless earbuds, right? We're going to talk about them, I think, more. They're also $199. So they're $200 on their own.
Premium product. PlayStation's been leaning more into that. When you look at the just price. Sorry, continue.
I like that. It's so again, there's the four things I played, right? Which are used. PlayStation Portal, the Project Q, the remote device. Pulse Explore wireless earbuds, the wireless ones we've seen there. Then also the Pulse Elite headset. They're doing a brand new headset, right? And I use both at my desk at work and then at home, the PlayStation 5, 3D, the Pulse headset or whatever. This one, the new Pulse Elite headset, $149.99. They said one. I'm sure it's $99, but $149 for this one, right?
Wait, really? So the
cheaper than the wireless earbuds.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This one, the changes here for if you're a Pulse headset user already is you now have a physical mic that you pull out. You can leave it back if you want to, but you pull it out. You can tap on the mic to turn it, mute it, unmute it. Also, they've removed physical buttons for balancing between game and chat audio. That'll strictly be done through the PlayStation Live Center, Live Control Center on your system, which I've noticed they've added, and which for me personally is great because even using these headsets, both at work and at home, I fuck it up every time.
Many buttons.
Which one am I touching? What am I getting to?
I'm a big physical button person when it comes to tech, especially in the audio space. But yeah, there is that balance of like, this is just simply too much of like the muscle memory of no matter how often you use it, you still kind of don't remember exactly where the button is.
And that's the thing now, again, mute for the mic is now on the microphone itself. You have the buttons here for volume up and down. And there's one for the PlayStation Link, which we'll talk about in a second, but that's there.
See, that's where the bullshit is.
But it's one button, and it's tiny. You're not going to get confused on which one you're hitting on.
Yeah.
I don't think. We'll see, obviously. The headset is using the AI noise reduction, an AI noise reduction thing to isolate your voice and block everything else. They tested it and showed it to me with doing it just off the microphone of a iPhone or whatever, and then scrunching up like a Sun Chips bag, and then putting it on through the headset and scrunching up. You could barely hear the Sun Chips bag. You could hear the person fine. Yeah, the chat balance is there, blah, blah. Oh, they've reworked the headband for the headset too, so it's carrying more weight. It doesn't feel like there's not as much pressure on your head, which I did feel on all of mine.
Really?
I do have to move them around a bit because they start to wear down on my giant ass head.
That's headsets in general, I would say. Like, but I've always been very impressed with the Pulse 3D headset.
Yeah.
I feel being a little bit more lightweight. Like, I find myself sometimes using that when I don't need the best audio experience ever, just where I'm just looking for comfort here. That's usually my go-to.
And so then they redid the cups too. Usually for me, the 3D headset sits on my ears. These ones completely cup around my ear, so I don't have to worry about that. It sounded richer to me. I think that's part of what they're going for, of course. The thing they kept talking about, this is for both. They're PlayStation Link is what we'll get to in a second, which covers the tech in both these. Again, the microphone isolating AI technology, right? And then also, this is so out of my wheelhouse, but not using paper cone drivers, using planar magnetic drivers. They had this thing that just showed me that were the flat sheets of metal that make you hear everything from bass to mid-range to highs better. All Greek to me, but you understand.
It's important stuff. I mean, that's where when you're getting into the more premium audiophile side of headsets and headphones. And for me, being the type of tech enthusiast I am, that's a standard. That's a requirement for something that I'm going to consider an actual quality audio product.
And it sounded great. Again, I use them all the time. And this one I did when I was playing Ragnarok, I was like, damn, this sounds better. I am getting more, I feel, out of it.
It helps a lot with just the soundstage overall of like how not just immersive, but how the placement of audio of where you are in the 3D space. And it works in conjunction with a lot of the AI noise canceling and all that stuff that you're talking about. But then also with the different 3D profiles, the Tempest audio and all the stuff that Mark Cerny is always pushing. And now the Dolby Atmos, I'm blanking on the word right now, but like the fact that it could be used now on in PlayStation games, which is huge, kind of like as a wrapper, where it's like this 3D tech being used with another 3D tech, but not getting away from it, not compressing the audio at all. These are still wireless headphones, so there's still going to be a lot of those issues, but I like that steps are being made and that things are working together to hopefully create a premium experience. Maybe not the most premium, but using enough of the things in tandem, and maybe that's what the PlayStation Link stuff is, where it's like, all right, cool. For the majority of people, this is going to be a fantastic experience.
And that is what they're moving for with PlayStation Link. PlayStation Link is the tech that's connecting the audio to your PlayStation 5 to the Project Q, is what I want to call it, PlayStation Portal, et cetera, et cetera. And so again, PlayStation Link is including all this AI noise canceling stuff, right? It's including the magnetic magnetic plates that do whatever sound, right? But where it starts getting interesting is, like they were talking about, this is the continuation of their what do they call it, commitment to low latency lossless audio, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea here, where that all the stuff I just said was Greek to me, right, the tech side of it, but as somebody who uses all this, this is where it got exciting when they talked about use scenarios. So the wireless earbuds and the headset use a dongle for your PlayStation 5 for your PC, right? The idea here with the PlayStation Link, though, deal is that the dongle can have multiple headsets connected to it. So you can have one dongle in and then have both your headset and your earbuds if you wanted linked to it, right? So that's all set to go. Then it gets exciting that you can pull away from that, right? You can do multiple devices. The headsets can compare to multiple dongles. So again, like right now you have them on two, but you can have one, you know, you're taking your headset from one setup to another, hitting the button. This works. It worked really well for the Portal, right? The PlayStation Portal, where there's a button on that. No dongle needed for it. Of course, you're connected to that. You're doing that. And then of course, when Jen goes to bed, right, I can turn off, go downstairs, hit the dongle button and be connected immediately. I don't have to do a pair. I don't have to do a thing. I have to get back to my PS5.
And I think this is what we're talking about here, of like going back to Midas's question of like, is there a place in the household of the modern gamer? I feel like, what is a modern gamer? Is a modern gamer just somebody that has a console, or is a modern gamer closer to what we used to call an enthusiast, right? I feel like with the way that we're talking about stuff, the way we're seeing the numbers of game sales and new genres popping up or old genres popping off, like all of that, I feel like what a modern gamer is different. And that's not just because people are playing more games than ever and more people are playing games and all of that. It's also just because of where tech is at, where back in the day, if you wanted an HD experience, you needed to buy these special cables, you needed this and that, whatever. Now, like, all we're almost at the point that we're outpacing marketing terms, you know.
Sure.
PlayStation 5 has 8K on the box. We're not fucking at 8K. Like, if you're buying an 8K TV, you're spending $30,000 and you're wasting your money, right? But I feel like the marketing, and we've seen this with the smartphone war of Android and iPhone going back and forth year after year, to the point that they're even competing with themselves of like, what features are we going to hold back, because we've kind of already given everyone has an expectation that the phone they have is just going to work, and it's going to work great, and it's going to charge faster than before and look better than before and be faster than before. The expectations people have of it just working are higher than ever, and the ecosystem working together, it's an expectation, not a feature. And I think that that is the biggest thing of this being a product that is being marketed to the Greg Millers of the world. It is. And it needs to work in the way that a Greg Miller would work, which means you have a PS5 and you have a Portal and you have this headset.
And I have a PC that I'm putting in. I run my Mac audio usually off of it at my desk.
You need these things to be able to hand off really, really clean and nice, because that is the expectation. That is not something that like, oh, it's cool and it works and that blows me away. It's like, no. If it doesn't work, what's the point of these products being at the price point that they are?
And so then another thing, again, to your point of like the Greg Millers of the world, they're the ones that take it out of the box and just want it to work, just want it to do what they want it to do. I know there's other headsets and workarounds that could do this, but they weren't the official plug-and-play PlayStation. The other thing is that both of these products, of course, do support Bluetooth. So you can pair them that way. But more importantly, they support simultaneous pairing.
Yeah.
So it can be that I have the dongle on my PlayStation 5 and I'm listening to the game and I have it paired to my phone, so that when there's a load screen, I pull it up and I scroll through TikTok, I'm hearing TikTok on there. Or if I want to make a call on my phone and still play the game and hear the game, I can do that. Or, you know, use Discord on my thing, or that, you know, the list goes on of being paired to something else at the same time as being paired to the PlayStation. You use the Bluetooth connection for whatever you want it to be, and then you use the PlayStation dongle connection for that. That's, for me, a huge deal of, like, the amount of times I've tried to go and play with Mike or something, and I need to do something for Discord. This is before they paired it all up. But, you know, still, this is, I've take a phone call and be able to play it. Yeah, 100%. Not have to pop my headset off and put on my AirPods for my phone or whatever. I'm stoked about that.
So you've been talking a lot about PlayStation Link. Yeah. What is it? Is it an app?
It's just this new thing.
It's just a brand.
There's a place to, exactly. It's how they're containing all this tech right here. It is the they're selling the dongles by themselves too. So if you want more for different devices, you can go in and do it so that you can have like this system. They talked very, you know, frankly about this is what it is right now. You know, hopefully as they get technology moves and everything changes, we can be done with dongles one day. Like, they're on that move. But no, it's just this idea of linking all the devices together for audio. And again, having on your headset the link button, right? So that it's a single tap of, you know, you tap that, or I forget which order it is, but you tap that and then you tap the dongle or whatever. So you switch off to that if you're moving to something else, or tap them however, you know, again, your PlayStation Portal has the link button that you tap on and go there. And you know, you're doing that thing back there.
Can we keep talking about the headsets a bit before?
Sure, I want to get back to Portal.
The Portal's the chunk of this, yeah. Right? But I feel like I don't know how much more we have to say about the headset.
Sure.
Looking at it, I'm kind of interested in this, the headset Elite that you're talking about here.
Sure.
$150 price point.
Yeah. Is that good or bad for audiophiles?
It kind of feels like a, I don't want to say no man's land, but like that's not what I would have expected at all. I would much more have thought PlayStation would put out a $300, $350 one, because the DualSense, I just had the name of it. Whatever the
Pulse 3D.
That's $99. I'm pretty sure, right?
That's about right.
Yeah. So the jump from 100 to 150 doesn't instill confidence in me that it is that much better. And
Amazon's got it for $100. Yeah. For some reason, Walmart's listed at 150, but that must be like a resale thing, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm pretty
$100 on Amazon.
I think it was $100 brand MSRP on that, and it's a pretty quality product overall. I feel like
it does,
like,
exactly, saying, for the most part, it does what I want. It's a little too tight on my ears, hurts my head after a while, but it does
do the 3D Tempest audio stuff very well. As do nicer headphones too. But like, I feel like that $100 price point, like that to me, I feel like is a good way for people to get good enough, if not great, quality sound coming from their PlayStation. For the most part, I have a lot of issues with it. I feel like oftentimes the connection, the latency and stuff does get in the way, and there's a lot of the crinkle, there's a lot of the staticky, the stuff that'll come on, like cracky breakout stuff, and you know, that just comes with the territory of wireless and proprietary type things that they're going here. But in a world where, we're talking about on the premium tech side of these things, which it sounds like they're trying to position a lot of this PlayStation Link stuff, the headphones that are like the standard of, to a certain point, money's not an option. Again, I'm not talking about the $30,000 8K TVs. I'm talking about the $3,000 TVs, which is, it is definitely the higher end. It is a prosumer type product, but it is kind of the standard of quality you can expect without wasting your money. You know, most people are going to get TVs that are $1,000 or less, and you're going to get a great experience at this point, and there's going to be a lot of good things that can be applied to the headphone side of things, where in terms of gaming headsets that are marketed for video game usage.
Sure.
At the end of the day, actual high quality, just headphones that aren't talking about video games at all, they're going to be better, but they're also potentially going to be a lot more money. And
sure,
you're going to have to find workarounds to get a mic working, to get it to connected. Is it wireless? Is it not? So many different factors at play there. But in terms of gaming headphones, Audizee is the gold standard. AUDEZE. They have $900 headphones, the LCD GX. Unrivaled in terms of gaming headphones. They are fantastic. The soundstage is going to blow your mind. But $900?
Yeah.
No one's buying that. And if you are, you're a very, very specific person that wants that. But then they have their the Mobius 3D, which I would say are the more, hey man, it's the high end. Like, it's the $3,000 TV level type thing.
Yeah.
$400, the Mobius 3D audio gaming headphone. And that is the gold standard for premium. You go down a little bit more from that, SteelSeries, the Arctis series, the Arctis Nova Pro is the new one, $279.99. $280, and like, you were getting I'm looking at the website now, it's the awarded left from websites. Like, this is, I would say, the most mainstream of the high profile. We're putting all into this. Like, you want a better audio experience, and it's worth spending money to you. That's what this is. When you get into this $150 level on top of $100, I start to question, is this just a replacement for that? As opposed to a giant step up, you know? And that's not necessarily
a bad
thing.
So you mean a replacement for the Pulse 3D?
Yeah.
I guarantee it is.
Yeah.
This is the Pulse Elite headset, I think, is going to come in and be the new de facto, this is the PlayStation headset.
And so in that sense, I don't know, without having heard it or anything, I don't know if that's a move that I think is that great, because I do think the power of the Pulse is it's $100 and it is really good for being $100. I don't know that $50 jump up to $150, which to me, I do think for what we're talking about, is a sizable enough of a jump that you might want to save up a bit more and get something that is going to do all those things extremely well. And it's a bigger jump, but it's a mind space thing of like what you're trying to get out of this. The earbuds, though.
Yeah.
$200.
Yeah.
Oh, they're saying something there.
Yeah.
They're really saying. Did you get to use those?
I did. Yeah. They were also fantastic. You know what I mean? It was to the point that I put them in and then somebody tried to talk to me. So I had to pop one out. You know what I mean? Like, it was that deafening. I was doing a thing. I was getting the same, I would say, quality of the Elite headset, but in that, you know what I mean? But it was, earbuds on my ears. You put them in, you turned them up. I felt like a Flash, which I liked. You know what I mean? Because you turned them like literally up. Had a little carrying case that Barrett showed earlier that was there, your little charging case for it. Like, yeah, they were dope. They seemed fine. They seemed like earbuds.
So what's interesting about the earbuds.
See that right in the center is that PlayStation Link button I was talking about.
Gotcha. Cool. On the earbud side of things, the industry's have seen such a huge advancement in the tech there where it's almost standard at this point. Like you're very rarely, if ever, seeing people now with wired earbuds, right? Walking down the streets, like AirPods and all the Google side of them as well have really kind of upped the game there and Beats and all that stuff. So even if it's like, they're not like the highest quality, some of them, it's like you get away with stuff where like I'm pretty wowed by I have AirPods Pro Max. I am such an audiophile. I want to pay them more money. I'll save up money to get the nicest thing just because I know it's the nicest thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed with the majority of wireless earbuds that I use these days where I'm like, dang, the low end being like a 6.5, 7 out of 10 sound wise on the audiophile scale. That surprises the hell out of me for the price points compared to how things used to be back in the day. Sure. And it's because of what you're talking about, the planar magnetic stuff. Like all of these things really add up to an experience that's like, hey, man, they might not be the best things ever, but the standard of them is high enough that's like, these are good. So and in a weird way, too, because of how the PlayStation specifically works with like the audio being wireless, being wired, all of that, nothing's ever going to beat a wired setup. I mean, for now, maybe in the future it will. But the tech of the Bluetooth and the I think it was Bluetooth 6, in terms of audio, in terms of it actually, it's being lossless, like wireless lossless, and that's not a lie, is incredibly impressive for the quality that it can get across. You're still dealing with latency, you're dealing with potential of interference and things like that. But it is so much higher than even taking a wired headphones, nice wired headphones, you're still plugging them into your DualSense, which is still wireless. There's steps that you're causing problems, right? So in a weird way, without crazy-ass dumb tech workarounds, that your boy does, but I don't expect anyone else to do, you're not getting, even with the nicest wired headphones, it's still wireless because it's connected to a controller, unless you connect it to a receiver and all the stuff, across the room, all that stuff. I'm saying a lot of stuff here, but my point is, I'm actually, like, this being at that $200 level, I think there's potential that is going to be a very premium product for PlayStation and for a great audio experience for enthusiast audio PlayStation gamers.
For sure, yeah. For me, they were wireless earbuds, and I liked the headset better, but whatever. I'm glad you're stoked about them. And again, like, I like them. There's, for me, the least exciting product I saw.
Yeah.
Which, of course, PlayStation Portal being at the top of it.
And MB2, even then, it's like, I'm not going to be playing video games with wireless earbuds. That's not my lifestyle at all. I would want over ears and all that. But I just think it's interesting when you look at the price points of some of these things now, to segue back to Project Q, the artist formerly known as Project Q, Project Portal, PlayStation Portal. The price point of these PlayStation products they're putting out right now, where we have the $100 Pulse, $150 Elite, we have the $200 earphones, DualSense is $70. You can often get it on sale, but at MSRP, $70. DualSense Edge, $200. right?
Yeah.
So there is a separation there of like where things are falling for the PlayStation Portal to come out at 150. Sorry, 200.
No, one. 199.
200. I don't want to call that the sweet spot. I think that is the highest end that they can get away with without it being like, are y'all fucking serious for what this is?
I agree. I think that I would imagine this is very much the proof is in the pudding. I used it at PlayStation, apparently on the company Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? So I don't know. You know, not that I'm thinking they brought in a crazy ass router to make me do it or whatever. I was so happy with the fidelity. And again, I'm not even exaggerating that I'm usually using remote play every night, whether it be my Backbone or my Steam Deck. As I've said on the show, you know, I feel like I get more little hiccups on my Backbone using my iPhone because I imagine my iPhone does more things. Steam Deck, of course, I'm using the backwards, you know, desktop mode and doing the thing. You're making it do something that's not just playing a Steam game, but I usually have a great experience on that, except that I don't like the screen as much. This was like everything I would want out of a remote play device, right? It ran flawlessly. I think maybe an AstroBot, there was a couple things where like, oh, there's supposed to be an effect here, but I think we've skipped the frame or whatever, like we jumped something. But it wasn't like, it wasn't a freeze frame. It was just like, oh, like he jumped and blew something up, but I thought there was usually an effect there. And again, I'm not the biggest AstroBot guy. I didn't notice anything in Returnal. I didn't notice anything in God of War, stuff like that. But in terms of how good that 8-inch screen looks, like I know you want OLED. I know you would love OLED. But like to have it there and be looking at this 1080p LCD screen, I was like, damn, it's gorgeous. Like the colors are great. And I'm playing a game redacted for review that I've been doing a lot of remote play on. And what I've been saying is when I play it, I love the game either on remote play or on my PlayStation 5, right? But when I go downstairs after a couple hours of a remote play and put it on the screen, it's like, fuck, there's so much detail and so much stuff I was missing here playing it on that. And I feel like this is such a nice sweet spot in between of like, it is, oh, I'm seeing the detail in these games. This feels like I'm playing on a screen that's larger, not as large as my iPad or something if I really wanted to get nutty and have, but then would I want to sit next to Jen with Cole next to us and an iPad and a DualSense and yada, yada, yada. I thought the experience was great. Again, it's not too heavy. It is, it's heavier than a DualSense, which makes sense, obviously, because there's a screen in the center of it right now, right? And as I was telling you off camera, right, like, I did the test on it. I played on it. I leaned back a little bit to try to get it up in the air. Of course, these are, you know, 30 minutes that I probably played, maybe 40 minutes total of me playing on this, right? So it's not like I got the best and biggest session out of it. But when I put it down, it was more the haptics that, like, my hands weren't tired, but like, it was like, oh, like when you put down, not pins and needles, but you know, like you've been getting rocked. Like, oh man, like all the stuff that's in a DualSense was there. And I think the form factor spreading it out more made it feel a little bit different in my hands than what I'm used to with the DualSense on top of it, right?
Yeah.
But it felt good. Like, it definitely was that thing of, like, I can't wait to have it at home for this experience.
Yeah.
And so, like, questions I had as a nerd about it, right? I asked about the battery, not finalized, don't know. Pre-orders soon out this year, which we know, right? One of the things I asked was, is there a case for it? You know what I mean? This is one of the things of, like, the Backbone obviously is amazing of, pop it on, you pop it off, you put it in your pocket, you toss it in your bag, you're off to the races and what it is. And this is, you know, they were very talkative of like, listen, we're pitching this as a home device. It's meant to be played. And the use cases they had were, you're playing something and somebody comes in and wants to watch on the screen. Okay. Are you playing something you don't want them to see and get scared? Do you have kids? Yeah. Okay. All these different reasons. They were like, you could take it anywhere you want, but they weren't pushing the hotel PlayStation portable way of it, right? They were very much talking about it as a portal, which they were very clear, right? They're like, a little window into your PS5. That's not like the tagline, it's just what they said and I wrote down because I thought that made sense. But obviously for me, obviously with a near 2-year-old running around, like, I don't want Ben just grabbing this and smashing it. I was like, does it come with a case? They're like, no case at launch. We are working with our third-party partners to come up with cases and do stuff like that. So, you know, SF Bags will have one eventually. But
totally. And that makes sense. That actually instills a little more confidence in me, too, about this, where I do think that, like, marketing it correctly for what it is, not what people think it is, is important because, like, yeah, people run away with, like, oh, man, like, it's just remote play, whatever. It's, again, the point of this is the couches, my system's downstairs, I'm upstairs. Yep. It's convenience. You're paying for convenience. Not everyone's going to do that because it doesn't make sense financially.
100%.
But if it does, where you're like, you know what? It's worth $200 for me to not have to go up and down the stairs four times, whatever it is.
And again, it's going to be your use case scenario for it. The you know, the big thing I have a couple questions again that I pulled from other stuff, right? From other shows. Marty had written in a while ago to PS I Love You on kindoffunny.com/PSILY and said, do you bet that Project Q will be more liked than PSVR 2? I think it will be. After playing it 1,000%. I think you can't, if you are at all interested in remote play, I don't think you can play it and not be like, oh, wow, this is cool. So, and like, to my point, sorry, just one thing, what I want to do is, and why I brought this question up, right, is when we were talking about VR2 in the lead up to it and then reviewing it and then the after fact of it, right, this is one that I've been very clear and in very straight on, right, of like, I would not buy PlayStation VR 2. I did not want to buy a PlayStation VR 2. They did not prove to me that I need to own one. I'm glad I didn't spend my own money on it, right? And this is a Greg Miller use case. Maybe you love PSVR 2 and you're playing whatever, and more power to you. I'm taking away from it. If they weren't going to send review units for a PlayStation Portal, I would happily hand over the money. Happily hand over the money. Because I can already see where this is going to go on the bookshelf upstairs with its hopefully little charging stand from whatever third-party partner, or just a loose USB-C cable to go into it, right? But it's going to be there on the bookshelf so that when, yeah, I want to play something next to Jen, or yeah, I want to go in bed and lay down and play something, I can rather than go downstairs.
And, you know, I think it's important to bring up, like, not just PSVR 2, because I know that, like, that's a contentious topic in some ways here, but even going back to, like, the PS, I forget exactly what they called it, but the Vita View or Vita TV.
Oh, Vita TV, yeah.
Whatever. It was, yeah,
PlayStation TV is what they
call PlayStation TV, yeah, where you could play Vita games on the TV. And it was like, that's interesting because it's like giving the Vita enthusiasts out there, the Greg Millers of the world, another way to play their games. It's like, all right, cool, if you want this, you can do it. But yeah, also, it was another entry point for people to be able to play Vita games that didn't own a Vita, right?
Yeah,
so it's like, I feel like that PSVR, new games, new experiences. Whereas this is way more, you either have a use case for this or you don't. And if you have a use case, does it work for that use case? And I feel like that's where the big quality of it comes in, and like, is it worth the money and all of that? Where I can say for the Nintendo Switch is portable, right?
Yeah,
you take it with you. I could play upstairs, downstairs, all that stuff. I ended up buying a second dock for upstairs just so the times I want to play on my bedroom TV, I can do that.
Sure.
It was totally worth the $60 for the convenience of being able to do that when I want to. And every single time I do it, I think, man, that was money well spent.
Yeah,
for and sure. Like, that's
for sure.
That's cool. I imagine for people that are interested in this, if it works the way it should, like the Switch does, great. That's awesome. You're talking about the sweet spot of the screen size. I'm so interested. Of course, I want OLED. I'm not even going to bitch about that. You guys get it.
Yeah.
A 1080p LCD screen, that could be awesome too if the colors are right and 60 frames per second or the
refresh rate.
The hertz. That's, I mean, I'd rather 120, obviously, especially for something small like that. But whatever, cool. I get that. More than good enough. If it looks good, it depends on the quality of the screen. All those numbers aren't equal. Like, you can see a 1080p 60 hertz screen that looks like shit compared to another one that looks fantastic with color space, with dead pixels, with all that stuff. 8 inches is, I think, as big as you can get for something that's handheld. The Switch, I don't know off the top of my head, but with the Switch OLED, you're getting, I think, like 7 inches of screen real estate, something like that. And that's already like, yo, this is a sizable screen. To your point about the iPads, like, sure, you could play on a 7 inch. Yeah. So you can play on a 9-inch iPad or a 12.9 or whatever it is for the biggest one.
Yeah.
That's a different experience, though. That's more of like a, you put it down and then you're playing with the controller. Cool. That's awesome. And I'm sure that'd be fantastic. It's probably best case scenario for PlayStation Remote Play, have an actual DualSense on that big ass beautiful OLED screen, with the processor and all the power of an iPad. But I feel like in terms of what this product is trying to be, which is that couch, actual handheld portable thing, I'm so excited about getting my hands on an 8-inch one with real controllers, with real buttons. And like you said, love the backbone. Still has those tiny buttons that makes it feel like this is more than usable.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's always the fact that, like, just having a PlayStation Portal in my hand and having a dedicated PlayStation button. Backbone has it, and they've updated it since, where you can hold down, you know, the Backbone button to bring up the PlayStation stuff. But the amount of times I don't hold it long enough and I get kicked back to the Backbone screen, which then disconnects me from a Remote Play, so I have to reconnect to Remote Play. It's like, that's a minor annoyance, but it's what we're talking about of convenience and why would I buy this thing, right? Like, I'm using this enough that I have little minor gripes like that I would much rather it be that. I don't like when I hit the what I think is going to be the share button on Backbone, but it's the proprietary Backbone. Yep. Share. I'm like, I'm never going to do it this way. Don't make me do this. Like, this is what this device is doing. And again, it feels like you're holding a DualSense, right? Like it literally is a DualSense with a screen shoved in the center of it. So it's right there and it feels like, okay, cool. It's already at home. It already feels normal.
So
one thing before we get too far off of it, this is another thing they said. Now, granted, I'm talking to, VP, I want to say is what his official title was on whatever PlayStation product marketing kind of thing or whatever. Or development might be, because he knew all about it. Anyways, though, it was the conversation that the 8-inch screen, again, right, was to what you're talking about. They were like, for having a TV in front of you on a wall, right, we feel this is as close as you can get to that with the distance, right? That this should feel like you're looking at your wall TV, except it's not all the way out there. It's here in your hand.
And, dude, I can't even imagine. Like 8 inches, that 1 inch bigger than the Switch. And I already really love the Switch the Switch is great. Yeah. 7 inches is awesome. But you're talking about the backbone. You have the big dog iPhone, right?
No, I went down a size.
Oh, you even have a smaller one, right?
Yeah.
I have the big one. And like even that, like when I have tried Remote Play, it's OLED. I love this.
Yeah.
Beautiful screen, all that stuff. But it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is a little tiny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
8 inches gives you that room to breathe with it, especially with the aspect ratio being off on the iPhones or smartphones anyways. Like, this seems like a very, very like dialed-in product for the actual use case of PlayStation gamers on a couch doing this. My question for you brought up the weight, which I am always a stickler for. It needs to feel right, the right amount of heft, can't be too light. We all remember the six axis.
Oh, God, don't bring it up.
Which was just like, man, it just,
what is this toy?
It didn't feel right. And then you get I love the weight of the DualSense Edge. It's so heavy, but it feels premium.
Yeah.
More important than weight, though, is balance. And I feel like the a big problem I have, and you guys that have been watching Games Daily know, I've been on this like endless journey to find the perfect Joy-Con replacement.
Yes, you have, yeah.
And I think a big problem is a lot of the time, even the nicer, like fully sized, like essentially cut a pro controller in half and put it on the edges.
Yeah,
they're too light or too heavy in ways that on attached to the Switch screen, the balance of holding it is off. So it just doesn't feel right because all of a sudden, what would have been, you know, holding your thumbs like a couple inches away from each other are now 8+ inches away from each other. How did it feel for you in terms of like, can you imagine laying in bed playing with this thing? You've had a Steam Deck for a year now.
Yeah.
And like you've used that, which is a very similar type of experience, but it being a full feature DualSense, holding it with the screen in between, does that feel weird or does it feel balanced?
It felt balanced. Again, I reserve the right to change my mind when I get it and I have actual time on it, actually at my house. I'm running a review on it or whatever. For this experience, it did feel balanced. Like I said, I moved around. I tried to get a feel for it and I thought it had the right heft. It feels heavier, but not heavy. I will be fascinated when, you know, of course, PS I Love You co-host Janet Garcia gets it, right? Because Janet's always talking about how big the Steam Deck feels for her and all these different things. I think that, like, the more I've used my Steam Deck, the more I don't like the feel of the Steam Deck. Like, I don't like the buttons, I don't like the stick position, and I do feel like it's too heavy, right? This one, I didn't feel like that. Granted, you're talking about being way in the weeds with Steam Deck versus first blush. I got to try this thing in a very controlled environment. There is no final weight. It's another thing. They're like, we're still working on. We're not announcing that right now. But no, I thought it was balanced. I didn't walk away being. It felt like the way I wanted it to feel. If that makes sense.
So okay, let's take a step back here, and I want to ask you about the experience of actually playing it.
Sure.
Because and some of this, I'm going to ask some ignorant questions just for people that don't know
ignorance.
How Remote Play works, because this is purely a Remote Play product, right?
Right.
So you can't just turn it on and use it unless what's happening with your PS5.
So they didn't walk me through that, but this was one of my questions, and where I actually started the question was very recently. And we've talked about it on Games Daily. I think we talked about it on PSLV as well. A video, quote unquote, leaked of Project Q running an Android iOS.
OS.
OS, right. So I'm an iOS boy. Running an Android OS and people clicking around in the thing and doing all this, right? All these different things. And that led to a lot of, okay, so it's using Android OS. That means it could hopefully do other things and blah, blah, blah. I asked point blank. I've seen this video. This is what it was. And the person I was with was very clear of like, I haven't seen that video, full disclosure. But this is designed just for this. We are running on Android, but you're not getting to a screen that is like, pick and choose what you want to do. Like, you are launching into, and I thought I had it in, I thought it quotes, but I don't here. Let me see if I have it. I wrote down the exact wording they talked about it, right? Where it was, I think it's at the bottom of this note page. very different but familiar. So your launch, you're going to turn it on, and it's going to be a different screen for PlayStation, but it's going to feel familiar. It wasn't ready for prime time, so I didn't get to see it. But the idea would be, from what I know of Remote Play and what your question is, right? I'm theorizing because I don't know and didn't see it, but you would, for the first time, get this, turn it on, and it's going to ask you to log into PSN, and then it's going to want you just to sync it with your PlayStation 5, and then you should be off to the races and fine with it from there on out. So like, you should be fine if you haven't already turned on Remote Play on your PlayStation 5 and set a device for it.
You turn it on, the settings on PS5 are set, it's linked to the PlayStation portal.
I assume then you would
PlayStation have to be in rest mode.
Yes, okay. That's how Remote Play works.
So if the PlayStation's off, you can't do it.
Correct. Yeah, you have to be in the orange light rest mode to turn it on. I can't. Remote Play can't start from a dead stop, and I don't see them. This again is what current Remote Play is. I doubt they're changing that for this.
So then, what is the process then? You have PlayStation Portal, and it loads up and does it after whatever the fancy startup splash screen or whatever. It looks like a PS5, right?
It'll be a PS5.
You're just controlling your PS5.
Yeah.
And then is it literally? It's just a PS5 that's on your thing, and it's just being streamed, and you can go to any game you want. And you just click X.
100%.
It loads up.
Your PlayStation 5 is on that screen. Your screen has become your TV, and your DualSense is the PlayStation portal you're holding. This is a portal to your PlayStation 5. And that's how Remote Play works already. Correct. Yeah. It supports Wi-Fi in general. It supports 5-gig Wi-Fi or 5G Wi-Fi or whatever, 5-gig Wi-Fi. 5-gig Wi-Fi is what I wrote. But again, that's a tech thing Greg doesn't understand.
Yeah. Again, I'm just asking you a lot of questions here just because I feel like a lot of people have heard Remote Play, but don't exactly understand.
To stop and start the whole thing, right? If you haven't used Remote Play and you're listening to PS I Love You XOXO, download the Remote Play app from PlayStation right now on your phone and go try it. Because it's that simple, right? And again, like that would give you a sense of what we're talking about. Like the amount of times that I don't have my backbone, but I want to get log in and I want to do something simple, right? I love, like, it's going to work just like this, right? You can see it here. And I should probably put myself in D&D because this is where Jen's going to hit me and be like, do you like having sex? And I'm like, I do like having sex. I like sex a lot, baby. But since it's already been linked to my PS5 and it knows what it is, there's my Greggy PS5. And it's got other connections where I could turn it on and go to my work PS5 if I wanted to, right? Or start a new one, right? Because you have to connect to it first time. But you click on it, right? And then it's like through the power of the internet and Wi-Fi, now it's pinging up to hit my PS5 to turn it on. And then this screen becomes my PlayStation 5.
So if you're at your house and you're on Wi-Fi, let's say you have gigabit up down internet, fantastic internet, it's all great. Internet shouldn't be a problem. Things should just work at the peak of what expectations are for internet usage.
Yeah.
Your PlayStation's connected, wired connection. Cool. It has that. You're in the same house. You're wireless, obviously, because it's the PlayStation portal. It should be able to just work.
Yeah.
Now, what if you took your PlayStation portal to a hotel? And let's say it had the same internet, same quality internet. Should that work identically? Even though you're not in the same room as your PlayStation, you're
theoretically, because this isn't about being in the room with the PlayStation. It's about having the PlayStation on the internet and your phone being on the internet.
Does the internet for your PlayStation 5 mean anything? Or is it the internet of the portal that means something?
I don't know. And to that tech level, I would imagine both of them matter. Because, of course, it's what your PlayStation is sending up and what you're bringing down. What I've always said, right, for lauding Remote Play is that when we were reviewing Concrete Genie, I went on some work trip or whatever, and on a lark, wanted to see. I tossed in my iPad, I tossed in a DualShock 4 and brought it. And I was floored how well it worked on hotel Wi-Fi, just normal-ass bullshit hotel Wi-Fi. So, again, like, eventually it did get all, pixelated, blocky, framey, and I think it might have crashed or whatever, but like I was shocked to be playing it and not being like, oh, move left. Okay, move right. Like that didn't happen. I was actually playing Concrete Genie and the picture quality wasn't amazing. It wasn't, the clearest image I've ever seen or whatever, but I was off to the races in doing it. So theoretically, you could bring PlayStation Portal there and have it work that way. Of course, though, it's just the thing of, what it's like. They're not selling it that way, but I would imagine it that way.
So this is obviously a big question based on your 1 hour of play that you probably can't answer until you have much more experience with it, but maybe you can. You said you played Returnal, you said you played God of War. Obviously, the premium optimal way to play some of those games would be on the biggest TV possible with no one distracting you and everything just freaking perfect. But do you see yourself only playing Diablos and things like that on this, or do you see yourself, God of War 3, whenever it comes out, if I have 2 hours here, I'm okay playing it on this thing?
That would be the hope. again, like, you know, that's the promise of remote play. What I would say to go back to it is, you know, like, there's, as always, when we talk about streaming, when you talk about cloud gaming, when you talk about remote play, there are different use cases in different games. Dead Island 2, a review I did this year, a lot of that was remote play next to Jen up there, to the point that when Grey's Anatomy is on, I think about Dead Island 2. It's very much like Mario World and Pinkerton. But I never, it was like, what would happen? This doesn't answer your question fully, I guess. But like when I was in the living room, I never had problems. It would be when I went to the bedroom that I would eventually, oh, starting to get a problem. And I would pause and let the internet kind of catch up and settle and then do sometimes disconnect or whatever. And what I ended up doing was putting an arrow, a mesh one in our bedroom. And I haven't had that problem since.
Yeah.
So again, like that doesn't really answer your question, but it shows like, I don't think it was my internet's fault as much as the reach of my internet, my router for where it was trying to get to. But anyways, yeah, I would play God of War on it. But again, I'm crazy. Like I would trophy hunt already on the backbone and do that stuff. And if the experience sucks, then I would stop. But
yeah,
usually it doesn't suck. But again, I'm not blessed. I'm not playing fighting games. I'm not out there like, oh, I need every frame to matter kind of thing.
Yeah. So you played a little Returnal, which is a bit more of twitchy and more reactionary. Like how was that?
I didn't think it was as sharp visually as the game, which I think is to be expected. But I didn't notice I didn't notice a drag on my gun or something like that, right? It was Returnal the way it should be. I didn't die in this game because of I missed a shot or I missed a step or I missed a frame. That didn't happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And God of War looked great. I could have played as long as I wanted. This isn't it. But the load they were giving me was when the very beginning of the game, you're on the sled and you confront somebody and fight on the sled or whatever. And that's where I was really using the audio to listen in on it and stuff like that. You know, Astrobot felt good. Oh, I also played Gran Turismo, which again, I'm not the racing guy, but as the not racing guy, I said, go right. I said, go left. And you know, I've had those moments. Like I'm not trying to make it out to be like every remote play I've ever done has been say magnifique. I was out there fucking in the old days trying to play Assassin's Creed Black Flag on the Vita from in Seattle, trying to play it on the PlayStation 4, and it was garbage. Like it did not work, it did not run. And so the way remote play has gone is crazy, which only makes me think it's going to get better. Which again, this device, I think PlayStation is really trying to be like, yo, this is the way we're going to fight Xbox and xCloud and all that stuff is that we're taking this seriously. You don't need a Switch. You don't need a Switch PS5, right? One that you dock and do whatever on. You can use this, which of course doesn't work for an airplane, but conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, focus products for what they are here. Oh man, I had a question and it just is gone now. Give me one sec.
Don't worry about it. I mean, I keep talking about how much I love this fucking thing and how much I wanted to play it last night. Like again, it was just such a heartbreaker to come back and like, all right, well, keep working on this review.
I got it. So remote play, I've dabbled, I've tried it, I've used it certain times. There's not use cases for me so far that the backbone has been the right solution. Sure. I'm very excited about this. I do think that this is going to, you talking about Grey's Anatomy, me talking about Real Housewives with G, like I've been, I love my Switch, you know, branded in Pokemon or playing like simpler things there. I enjoy that. And the idea of being able to do that and not for PlayStation games is very, very, very cool to me, especially on the platinum grind. You know,
sure.
I feel like this would incentivize me to go for platinums in games that I have interest in doing. But like, I mean, Final Fantasy 16, I think, is a good example of like, I can see myself, hey, maybe I am going to go for that platinum. I've done the majority of it, but there's a couple trophies. I'm like, I'm not going to dedicate that much TV time to this, but I could hear. A big fear I've always had with remote play, though, is like it failing and it dropping and it just like man, I did all this progress and then it just crapped out on me. Have you had that experience in your backbone life?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like if you lose connection, you just reconnect and it's where it is. So I mean, like if you got left off in a, like, I don't want to talk completely out of turn here because the problem is I'm coming back to it. I don't think it automatic. No, it will. I don't want to speak out of turn. We should Google if, because this is how rarely it happens and how it's never been an issue for me. Yes, I've had it drop. Like I said, I've hit the backbone button to try to open PlayStation, but instead I get kicked to the app and I come back in and reconnect. And I think I'm in a pause screen. I think it just treats it like a controller disconnect. And then, of course, you have your power settings on your PlayStation. You should at least have, like, if you, like, the internet went out and was gone, the PlayStation would know to shut itself off, that there's been no input for a while on it and stuff like that. Like that, it's smart enough that way. If you
set it on, it yells at you.
Huh?
Then you turn your PS5 on, it yells at you.
Well, I was thinking more that you're remote, you're at the hotel or whatever, and you did it, or you fall asleep, right? And something like that happens, that it would be able to, like, nothing's happening, I should turn myself off. Because that, in the beginning days, was more my fear. Yeah. That I would try to connect from a hotel, lose, it wouldn't be strong enough, but it would be strong enough to start the PlayStation, and the PlayStation's just on all week, or whatever, how long we've been gone for.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's very interesting.
It is, man. I'm excited about this. So now, question for you, prediction time, because they didn't give a date on this.
No.
What's your prediction?
Well, if I'm a betting man, I think pre-orders are opening this week. You know, they are maybe in a week. They're opening soon. I think they're announcing it at Gamescom, showing, they name it Gamescom. Here's the price. Then pre-orders are lifting that day, the end of the week, maybe in a week. And then launch time, that gets interesting. Again, tech has never been my thing. I would say November, right? I would feel like you get it
early
out
November
after Spider-Man, which sucks because I'd love to use it for Spider-Man. But after,
but you know, it's going to be Spider-Man, Platinum Hunting, right?
Oh yeah, that's oh awesome. Yeah, oh yeah, doing all the side stuff and all the content for sure, 100%. That's what it's going to be all about. But it's, so it's like I feel like you put it there so that you don't have a whole. You get it out by Black Friday, so it can be under Christmas trees. You get it out after Spider-Man, so you don't have to eat into your marketing buy for Spider-Man, and you can have the thing there. That seems right, right? Mm-hmm. That's when PlayStation 5 launched in November as well, right? I mean, you know, I've never been the date guy, but I'm pretty sure it did in 20... No, did it? No. God damn it.
Yeah, man. How do we not know that?
I've been...
That sounds right, though.
My entire fucking career, I've said I'm not the date guy or the number guy. Like, I lived it. It happened. I reported on it. I moved on to the next thing. November 19th, 2020. So again, that seems like a good hardware spot. Get it out there, especially for something that I feel is, like, again, all the stuff we're talking about is, as you said, enthusiast based. Mm-hmm. It is like, oh, I have a use case for this. Oh, I really want to do it. Oh, blah, blah. So I feel you could drop it at any time and that kind of person is going to buy it. Again, you get the great word of mouth. If people do like it, it does work the way it should and the way it worked for me in the demo, right? Then maybe it gets under Christmas trees. Then maybe it goes that way. But for round one, tip of the sword, if you're gonna buy this, I feel like,
yeah,
you were just waiting to hear it didn't run like trash, and it didn't run like,
which
trash.
Is important, man.
Yeah,
I think that's like incredibly important. I'm still of the wait for reviews side.
Yeah,
of this
me too.
One.
Oh, me too. I mean, like, I shouldn't say that. Like, again, I was very clear. I'm like, we're getting some for the office. You can take care of us because I'm gonna want review units. So like, you'll get a review unit, at least one. We'll see what it is. And so it's like, if pre-orders go up, I might still buy one just to make sure that I'm taking care of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I also don't compete. I'm really the remote play guy, so I don't feel like I have to compete with too many people here for the
yeah,
office.
Yeah, yeah. I'm extremely interested in this thing, but it needs to work. If it doesn't work essentially flawlessly, it's not worth it, especially at a $200 price point for me. I feel like I can, like, at that, I mean, 100 is that, like, oh my God, that's a no-brainer. But I also understand with the pricing of everything.
See, it's that thing possible. For me where I don't doubt that it's going to work. I'm trying to fight off a sneeze like you have all week.
Yeah.
Again, my backbone and my Steam Deck already do so well for what I do, but I'm like, I just wish this was a real controller.
I just wish
I had a better screen. I just wish I had a PlayStation. This checks all those boxes.
But, and so here's my problem with this. The Steam Deck has an incredible processor and is designed as this, like, premium computing experience. We're talking about some of the newest iPhones with, like, amazing M whatever chips and stuff. Like,
I love M chips.
That's where it gets a little bit. I mean, I don't know the exact chips and all the stuff that's in this thing, but, like, that to me is the big question. Because, like, I'm with you on the hardware in terms of feel front of the controller, but what about the hardware of the tech side of being able to run this stuff? Because granted, it is cloud based, but you still need that power to make this thing sing.
I asked point blank in a very long roundabout Greg way. That I always, not the show, the hit show on patreon.com/company, in a roundabout way of like, yo, like, another yo. I'm always saying that my Steam Deck runs better than my iPhone, and my belief would be it's because the Steam Deck's doing this, like, in a dedicated way versus the iPhone's also getting text messages and notifications, yada, 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 yada. How does that trickle out here? And they were very clear, like, we're not going to talk shit about either of those products or anything like that. This device is designed for this. This is what it does. And they were like, those other devices do other things. This is all this does. So you should have the best experience here.
Yeah.
And so, because even Steam Deck, right? Like, that's not like there's an actual Steam approved program, right? That's me backloading in the desktop mode, Chikari.exe, that I then launched, that then has a horrible UI that there's all these things to do to get it to do what I want it to do. So even then, it's not like it's like this is the Steam Deck talking right to my PlayStation the way Valve intended. Gabe approves. Like, that there is something else happening there.
Yeah.
Which I would hope that means that since this is all that's happening here, unless you're going to be one of these people that I guarantee goes in and hacks the Android and does the thing.
That's like, different, man. That's homebrew stuff. And like, that's that will happen. Yeah, for sure. But I doubt it's going to be that fruitful for the people doing that, because at the end of the day, it's like, this is not going to be a dedicated, the hardware's on it. So like, I don't think this thing's going to be emulating PS5 games. You get what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
Anything close, but
I'm very excited, Tim.
Yeah. You got me. I'm stoked, man. And like, I'm happy that you're saying it works. And again, I think the most important takeaway from this is that you use this remote play every day.
Yep.
So for somebody that you are the use case for this, and you are walking away like, damn, I wish I had one right now.
Yeah.
Makes me feel really excited for this thing that I know a lot of people, myself included, looked at and were like, this could be
cool. And in the beginning, I was like, eh, I got a backbone. Why would I want this? And then the more they talked to them, I'm like, oh, man, you're actually making a compelling case for this. And so using it, yeah, they can have my $199.
Yeah.
You, ladies and gentlemen, can support us on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can usually watch me and Blessing and Janet record this show live. Of course, you could always get it ad-free as an MP3 in a YouTube video. You could watch the other podcasts record live. You could get more than 300 bonus episodes of content. You could get a cool Trog shirt this very month. Wow. But guess what? You're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny, betterhelp.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're way ahead of the game here. We can't do a This Week in PlayStation. But I can say, Jay Maz writes in and says, is cloud gaming or PlayStation Remote Play a luxury service? I have a PS5 and good internet, but struggle to use Remote Play because even with extenders, playing in my bedroom has never gone well because of how my house is set up. To get into Remote Play so it's enjoyable to me, I either have to limit the type of games I play, parentheses, and those still don't run well, Slay the Spire, for example, or lay down extra funds not outside of buying a backbone, Project Q, etc. Do you think Remote Play and cloud gaming are ahead of their times, and the extra costs and effort consumers have put into the use these services properly are keeping them from being standard enjoyment instead of a niche service?
Yes. So these are a luxury service, but going back to the point I was making earlier, I feel like because of people's standards and expectations of tech, that is going to more rapidly be not the case than in the past when it comes to the advancement of technology.
Sure.
Where it's all about expectations. And look at it. We didn't believe the Switch could work when they first announced it, or before they even announced it, when there was like the rumors of what it was going to be. And we're like, there's just no way it works that way. And then it just worked that way. And now the Steam Deck's out there, and like, people can expect things to work. Chromecasting Like, the concept of being able to just stream something from your phone to a TV, from your computer to a TV, all that stuff, you're like, I'll believe it when I see it. And back then, you had to buy dongles. You had to buy all the stuff. You don't need to buy dongles anymore. Like, it's embedded in the TVs. It's embedded in the products that we have. That type of quick level of adoption, I think, is going to happen here for a lot of this stuff. And I mean, we've been seeing it with internet, right?
Yeah.
Like, how fast the rate of expansion when it comes to what Wi-Fi even is, the amount of things you need for Wi-Fi to work, the introduction of mesh networks. And now it's not just, oh man, right here works for internet in your house, but nowhere else does.
You have this dead
for
spot.
A small investment relatively to all this stuff, you can now get your entire house covered in Wi-Fi. If you invest more, you can do even more. I think that that is going to get even cheaper and cheaper for people to become more and more standard as all this stuff is more and more a requirement as opposed to a luxury. We look at smartphones over the last 10 years, the advancement that they've made, and what even these days, a low-end smartphone, it's still incredibly powerful and
for sure
allows you to do so many different things. But because of that, that is the lowest common denominator barrier to entry to people that things need to be designed for and expectations are designed around. And then everything else above that is trying to upsell you and like for the freaks out there.
You
like,
freak.
Motherfucking freaks. Pervert. You know? But yeah, I feel like it currently is a luxury service. And that goes to the Greg Millers who are living luxury lifestyles. But it's like, you are playing video games and you have a specific use case that to you, that's worth it. That is a choice you're
making.
This
is worth $200 for sure.
It is worth it to you. It is a luxury you want to not have to be able to, sorry, I spit a lot.
I didn't notice.
To be able to keep playing your games while Grey's Anatomy is on. Yes, that's a luxury. But I think at a certain point, sooner than later, that's just going to be a standard expectation.
100%. I agree with you. I mean, there's very little to add, right? I think that PlayStation's commitment to it is showing that they're serious to it. And I think, you know, I've been very vocal about PlayStation VR 2 and how it doesn't feel like PlayStation's committed to it. I feel like this is the opposite side of that coin of like, hey, here's a really sexy device that we're not shoving down people's throats. This reminds me of where a PlayStation VR 1. We're putting this out there for the consumer that gets it and wants it. We're not really, I mean, like, we think it's going to be important. We think the more people who see this are going to want this. I think when you go to a friend's house and they have it, I ask them, like, are you planning, like, you know, airport marketing stops and things. And they were like, we're not ready to talk about any of that or whatever. They didn't have any plans or that's not my department. Like once people get this in their hands and see it, I think not that it's going to be for everybody by any stretch of the imagination, but you'll come up with use cases pretty quickly, I think. Because again, like for them with the headset to be like, we know how many people are scrolling TikTok or looking at Twitter or wanting to watch a show. Like, God, when we were doing Diablo, me, Mike, and Joey would talk about what show are you binging while you do this?
Mm-hmm.
They're aware of how gamers are using their products. And I feel like this is the thing of like, rather than get on your, the amount of times I finish a TikTok binge, it's 45 minutes. I'm like, why the fuck didn't I do Diablo? Why didn't I just do that? I could have done 45 minutes of Diablo, cleaned out this X, Y, and Z. Like, I feel like when you start mixing it into your rotation that way, more people see it.
And I also think that it is important to point out that there are more gamers than ever. There are more ways to play games than ever. And gaming is aging, where it is not this new thing that just kids do and that it's weird if you're an adult playing games. It's expected if you're an adult. Chances are you probably play games. More and more people are having kids. That changes their life. That changes the way they get to play games.
Sure.
Giving them more options to be able to keep up with games and play games, I think that while this product wouldn't have made zero sense 5 years ago, I think it makes pretty good sense now, and it's only going to make more and more in the future.
And that's the thing, the more and more where we go from here. Let's move on to PlayStation picks. Thank you, Barry. Of course, we are a week ahead. So the drop next week should be Immortals of Avium, WrestleQuest, and Armored Core 6. No slouches there. Of course, WrestleQuest, Jeff Jarrett cursed it, and it gets canceled and moved around all the time. So probably next week. We'll see what actually happens. All of those are big games. All of those have been covered in some respect on Kinda Funny. Some of those will be covered soon on Kinda Funny Gamescast, I would imagine, available on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames and podcast services. Some of them already have been covered, like Immortals of Avium. Again, welcome to the time warp. This is something I've talked to you and pitched before of like, I got to figure out a way to do this as like maybe a Patreon thing. But like I started Immortals of Avium last night. I had done the preview event, obviously, back in the day, but last night. So these are my impressions. I'm on chapter 5 right now. by the time this posts, Monday's Games Daily should have had me come on and be like, yo, here's what here's I think, my here's my thought. Review, here's the score. Blah, blah, blah. So it's an interesting little time capsule to see how this evolved. You know, I had left the preview event, and what I had said when people asked me about it, I was like, you know what? This is a game that we've all said looks generic as hell. It looks like, to me, Greg Miller, it's got Godfall color palettes and maybe some enemy design. It's got first-person magic the same way Ghostwire Tokyo did. It's got the color, and maybe so many people want to be up on it about the cringe dialogue like Forspoken. And all three of those games were not home runs. You know what I mean? They were not the most well-received games. But I think it's led to this one being like a, whatever. I left the preview event and I said, all that said, I see all that. I know all that. After playing it for whatever it was, 2 hours or 3 hours, I was like, I leave with the adjective endearing. There's something endearing about this game. You know, they pitched it, Ascended Studios. It's the first game. They pitched it as like, hey, this is like an MCU movie. That's what we're going for. It's this cool, bombastic thing. It's a hero's journey. You're going to be this new guy. You're going to be finding your powers, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, there's something here. And there's moments that didn't work for me. There's moments that really worked for me, blah, blah, blah. You know, starting chapter 5 right now, I am excited to sit back down and play it tonight. I think the games, the knock I have against the game so far is twofold. Number one, again, I'm only five, this is my fifth chapter. Right now, they have a villain problem of like, who's this fucking guy? What's he want to do? He looks like Lord Zedd from fucking Power Rangers. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then they got this guy. I'm like, yeah, I don't. And I think it stands out because your character, the cast you're with, they're so good. Like, I really am enjoying and I'm, of course, blanking on his name. It's something with an A.
Avium.
I want to say Ash, but that's not right. It's something like that. Immortals
of Cameron Avium. Kennedy.
You know, you could Google it any second and just told me, but instead you just keep throwing people's names out. Premise, Jack.
Oh, that's what I'm talking
about. Jack.
Oh, Jack.
Jack. With the, just J-A-K. Like Jack and Dexter. Anyway, so, no, I, his, they, the, well, the preview we had done dropped us in after the intro, like the prologue or whatever. And so playing through the prologue, I was like, damn, like, number one, this is a pretty game. I got a lot of comments from people out there watching me on the screen. Like, yeah, this game actually looks really good. Number two, great introduction to his character via the characters that surrounded him, his supporting cast, where I was like, oh, this is actually pretty, this is endearing. They feel like a good group and yada, yada, yada. And then whatever happens in that prologue to then move him onto his journey, right? Again, I've talked before of the sergeant he's running alongside and who's being trained. And like I am enjoying it. I'm excited to play more. Getting into the weeds last night of like, okay, cool. Like, obviously there's skill trees and there's gear to go through and pick and upgrade and all that stuff. And really trying to commit to a build already of using the blue magic, which is more like the sharpshooter ability and stuff. Like, I'm having fun. The combat is fun. Another, the other knock I have is right now it feels a little bit easy. I'm on the default difficulty, the middle difficulty. I could go up, but they got a difficulty-based trophy list. I hate that shit. So it's like, if I go up now, I'm not going to get credit for beating on the hardest difficulty. And I'm having fun being powerful because I fucking run in the room and I, you know, I lash the dude with my whip and bring him over and I'm shooting him and I throw up the wall and I throw it. I'm like, this is fun. Like, I'm enjoying myself quite a bit. I feel like right now, starting chapter 5, I'm excited for more of it, and I feel like it could catch people off guard of not a must play, put down Skyrim, cool. Put down whatever.
So let's put it down there with where you're at right now. Are you looking at a 3 or 4?
Wow.
On the kind of funny scale, you or, know, or something else.
Right now, knee jerk gun to my head, I would think I'm currently leaning towards a 4.
Ooh.
I think this is better than okay. I'm having a better than okay time with this game.
Cool.
But again, I reserve my right to change it Monday. You go back and watch Games Daily on Monday. Maybe I'm like, and then turned out in chapter 5, everybody was a Nazi. Like, you know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah, I would do it.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. But I'm excited to play more. I'm excited to actually end podcast to go play.
Hell yeah.
What, have you played anything on PlayStation?
Yeah, I talked a little bit on Games Daily about Stray Gods.
I've been
playing this on PlayStation, so here I am on PSLWXOXO to talk about some PlayStation games. It's cool. It's nifty. It's a unique idea. It's a role-playing, it's a like choose-your-own-adventure type musical. And the voice cast is utterly stacked. Pretty much anybody that you can think of that is a voice actor in video games.
Laura Bailey and Ashley Johnson on screen right now as their characters.
Are in this. Raul's in it. Janina's in it. Like, it is
Troy.
And Troy's in it. Everyone is here. And it's very cool because of that. I feel like there's a lot of personality there. Music by Austin Wintory, who does Journey and all that. So there's like a great a vibe there, obviously. The style of it's pretty cool. It's kind of a Hades looking thing as well, with in terms of the character art at least. And it's dealing with the gods. So there's a lot of similarities there, a lot of thirst, a lot of sexiness and all that. And it's a musical, which I think is kind of a big swing that we haven't seen in video games. This is a smaller indie title, $30. And the idea is they want you to play through multiple times. And like,
have you finished it?
No, okay. I haven't. I'm about 2 hours, 2.5 hours in, maybe, and I don't know that I'm going to go back to it.
Okay.
That's the thing. Me and G were playing together. It's very cool, and when it works well, it's like, oh man, this is really, really dope. But I feel that more often than not, it doesn't hit for me the way I would want a musical to hit, and things like that. Which I do think is a personal thing that this game is going to really resonate with the people it does.
Sure.
I often say about games, like, oh, it's not for everybody. It's like, this, I think, is very much for a group. And I feel like if you see this and are at all interested in it, you should give it a shot, because it very well could be for you. I think that an issue with it is the fact that you are choosing how the songs change.
Yeah,
kind of makes the songs not sound as important or like complete, even though they are. It kind of just feels like freestyling in a way, as opposed to like, oh, this is a song that has purpose to it all. And that is, that sounds a lot worse than I actually even feel about it. But like Bless brought up that he doesn't think he's going to be listening to these songs as songs.
Yeah.
And that's something I care a lot about when it comes to musicals. So for it to be a musical, I'm kind of judging this as a video game and as a musical. And I 100%. Feel like on both sides, I'm not really like riveted by it.
That was my experience too. I played it one night, got it. You know, I was excited because obviously we know everybody, and it's a really cool idea, a musical video game, choose your own adventure. Yeah. And I jumped in and I was like, oh yeah, the songs don't hit for me. It's also very much based in like gods, you know, Greek gods. And I was just like, and I got through a few of them, like, yeah, this isn't going to be for me. My hope would have been, and you can tell me if you know, and I haven't Googled around really or read many reviews. Like, I was like, if this is only 2 hours, they want me to replay it that many times or something like that, maybe I'll struggle through, but like, nah, there's so much else to play right now.
Yeah, I want to keep saying this, though, that if you're at all interested, I think it's worth a shot.
Give it a shot.
I think that it's going to speak to people in a way that no game ever has. And that I feel like the people that might like this game deserve that. Like, I love that this game exists, and I love that the people making it are the people that were. Like, I feel like there is a lot of heart and care put into this. And it's, again, I think supporting unique things in video games, even if they didn't knock it out of the park, can be very important at times. And it's a $30 game. I wouldn't be surprised if you can get it on sale pretty soon as well, in different ways. But just remember this one for when it's a downtime for you and you're like, that sounded cool. Not sure I'm going to love it, but I might want to give it a shot. I think it's worth playing for an hour and seeing if it's for you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of PS I Love You XOXO. Remember, we're your PlayStation podcast, posting each and every week, usually on Friday, but you can usually watch us record the show live on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, over there, you could kick us a couple bucks and get every episode ad-free. You could watch all the other podcasts live as we record them. You could get the stuff on demand and ad-free. You could get more than 300 episodes of exclusive content we've put up since October 2022, and so much more. It's all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Like, subscribe, share, leave a review, all that jazz on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. Maybe use that Epic game code, Kind of Funny, when you're checking out, when you're in Fortnite, Rocket League, or etc. No matter how you consume the show or get it, thank you for your support, and until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.